Hi, this is John Reed with Free From Corporate America radio show, freefromcorporateamerica.com. On this show, I elaborate on the themes for my upcoming book and talk a little bit about some of the more controversial aspects of the theories that I've espoused or the anecdotes that I revealed in the book. And today we're going to talk about one of the more controversial chapters in the book, entitled How Can I Possibly Advocate Lifestyle Businesses Given the Absurd Nature of My Own Existence? I think the reason that this chapter is particularly aggressive for people is that it's the only chapter where I really stick it to people in my past or basically assign some blame for the predicaments that I have found myself in. Essentially, what I do in this chapter is introduce some biographical information, partially to be a wake-up call to other people who maybe are taking a little too leisurely a time to take some of these issues seriously in their lives, but also just to illustrate basically that the theme of the chapter is that I'm essentially an overweight gym teacher in this book saying, you don't have to do it the way I did it. Essentially, you can do it better. And by doing it better, I mean, if you don't dig the big hole that I dug, it won't take you so long to get out of it. And the big hole that I dug has to do with the fact that I went into the modern Free From Corporate America economy with a pretty poorly equipped background in terms of education, family know-how, and I kind of found myself after my liberal arts degree was completed completely at a loss. And of course, I sort of speak for a generation of people who have found themselves in that situation, so I'm not the only one. But there's some chapters in this book that are pretty provocative. So I don't think anyone is too shocked about the idea that I make a point about the deficiencies of a liberal arts degree. I think people understand that it's no longer a very practical degree unless you're moving on into academia. But one of the sentences that's really controversial in this chapter is, I'll just read it. The do-what-you-love doggerel of liberal arts fantasy land haunted me well into my 20s. When the bill for those illusions came due, it was mighty steep. My clawing up the cliff lifestyle is not a judgment on the quality of the ideas in this book, but it is a damning indictment of the combined incompetence of family and schooling to prepare me for the life I have chosen. I've had more than one reader confront me on this particular part of the book and just try to get to the bottom of this issue of how much responsibility do I put on myself for the predicaments I found myself in versus other people. And to a degree, the broader issue of to what degree is it productive to assign blame and to what degree is it important just to move on. And I have to say, I'm not sure I'm going to keep that particular sentence and section in the final version of the book. I go on to talk about how you make your own bad decisions on top of whatever it is illusions that you might pick up along the way that are inaccurate. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where obviously the whole point of the book is that it's not too late for us to change how we approach our work lives and our economic lives and our own destiny, really. So I'm not trying to say that, you know, we're stuck in these situations because of poor education or poorly informed upbringing or what have you. But I think the way I look at it is that there's a certain point in our younger years where we really are not necessarily exposed to the most important ideas that we need in our educational system. I think somewhere else in the book I talk about how I memorized all the rivers in my state when I was in college, but I didn't learn how to make a resume. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, you learn things that are maybe esoteric and you're not clued into things that are really important. And of course this goes beyond resumes. I think, you know, the way I look at it is that a lot of the important lessons about changing your mindset from being an employee to being an owner and having an owner's consciousness, that's the key to success in a market economy. And I think very few of us are really taught that in a formative way when we're going through our schooling. So this is really more of a sense of my own upbringing and how I have struggled with that. But at the same time, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to dwell on it. And for that reason, I may take it out of the book because it may be a distraction. I don't worry so much about offending my family or what have you. I'm sure they would be offended by it, but I can't really worry about that. It's more that it may be a distraction to I say at another point, I say, it took me a decade to understand these things, and that's 10 years after I graduated from college. I know some professors who should be ashamed of themselves. And so that raises some really interesting questions about to what degree do we hold our teachers accountable in a classroom for things we do or do not know. Narrowly defined, my professors maybe weren't responsible for teaching me all of those things. So some of these statements are meant to be provocative rather than definitive. And one of the things I'm trying to call attention to in this book is what it is we really need to know, not only to succeed, but to find real, legitimate, genuine adult happiness that we aren't taught in our formal educational system. And I address that a little bit more in the chapter on education, where I question the value of degrees and look at what is really needed to be successful and find a level of adult fulfillment, essentially. So that's really where I'm coming from here, is that I'm not looking to cast a lot of stones at this point at you know, my family or what have you. I think I went through a lot of that in my 20s, where I just felt bitter about my predicament, and I, you know, easily found people to blame for it. And it became pretty clear before too long that was not going to be a productive outlook for me, and I'm not advocating looking at it that way. So it's a chance for me to sort of make that clear and to say that, no, you know, you can take some of these theories and ideas into your life without, you know, having to claw up the cliff, as I described it, as my way of trying to educate myself. I think some of us are more fortunate in that we get exposed to ideas about entrepreneurial business when we're younger. And, of course, part of the theme of this book is that we all have to understand those ideas, whether or not we start our own businesses. Without understanding the creative entrepreneurial approach to making money, branding ourselves, creating assets of our own, we're not going to succeed in this particular market economy, and that the things we put our faith in that may get us through, whether it's the traditional pension or giving way to IRAs or home ownership or education or a career path, that all those things are more precarious than we want to admit. So this book is kind of about how we can find an inner security and then manifest that in a more external security as well, that's based on assets that generate income for us regardless of when and how we work. And also just take the opportunity to create a work persona that's portable from job to job, that isn't dependent on one employer, so that we can essentially become more like consultants and less like victimized employees who are essentially one bad day away from training our overseas replacements or what have you. So that's really the theme of the chapter. And I talk about the job I took after graduating from college, which was just being a grocery bagger. My goal in this chapter, which is early in the book, is to essentially make some pretty strong statements that I then back up later in the book. So as you read through some of the chapters, I think you'll see my attempt to justify those statements, and you can decide if I succeeded in doing that or not. This chapter was also somewhat inspired by an essay I wrote on johnreed.net in the work section, which I published a few years after graduating, when I was first grappling with these issues. And I wanted to read a short section from that, because one of the favorite things I've ever written. So let me just find this for you here. Okay, so I'm talking about graduating and moving into the working world. I never realized that there was such a violent conflict between personal ideals, and financial obligation. The liberal arts cover that once shielded me from economic reality came right off, and with it went an innocence, some would say arrogance, I had about life. When I found myself bagging groceries for my former faculty members, neither of us seemed to know how to ease the embarrassment. I suppose they were embarrassed that nothing in their courses had prepared us for this moment, and I was embarrassed by my compulsive desire to somehow redeem myself in their eyes. I guess in a sense I'm still on that path, and that this book is another attempt to not necessarily redeem myself, but to take the hard knock experiences I've had and formulate them into a philosophy that not only shows a way forward for me, but might actually be something I could take to someone who was either at a crossroads in their career or maybe just like me after college, 2021, 2022, I've essentially wrote the book that I wish I'd had at that age. So no, you don't have to be like me to get something out of this book, but one of the things I do in this book is I take the time to divulge a little bit about my background and my agenda so that you can have a clearer understanding of what my biases are and what my prejudices are so that you understand maybe what you would buy into and what really isn't relevant. So I hope this podcast was helpful as far as giving you a deeper context of this chapter and how it fits into the book as a whole. I welcome reader feedback. I'm hoping to eventually have comment sections after each chapter on the blog. But in the meantime, thanks for joining freefromcorporateamerica.com radio, and I hope to find you back online soon for another installment. Until then, John Reed.